Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This is the day that the Lord has made, the first Sunday in the brand new year. God has blessed us to be alive, to see it, and for that, I don't know about you, but I'm awfully grateful. I'm glad to be back with you. I've missed you. I missed you the last two Sundays of the year, 07. I was in Texas with my folks for the Christmas and had a great time. It was wonderful, a blessing to see my mom yet alive and doing well. And my brothers as well. I know that you, some of you were here. How's Mr. Fletcher?
Okay,
safe, okay. I got a call as I was on my way to the airport on the 20th about Mr. Ransom. Posey called me that morning that he had gone to be with the Lord, and I rejoiced because he was ready. We had some great moments together leading up to that time. But welcome all of you who are here in the chapel, as well as those of you who are viewing on Channel 15. We thank God for you. And hi, Bob. And I'm just glad to be back at my post. You know, it's nice to be off, but it's doubly nice to get back. Let's begin our services with our opening sentences. As you can see, Sylvia is not here. She should be back next week. However, let's begin our services with our opening sentences. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray our unison prayer together for those of you who have it on your bulletin. Let us pray. O God, who did wonderfully create and yet more wonderfully restore the dignity of human nature, grant that we may share the divine life of him who humbled himself to share our humanity, your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Our first song of praise and worship today is one of the old hymns of the church. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. Let's sing that together. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. His music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the the foulest clean, his blood availed for me. And because God is so worthy of our praise and our glory, we sing a song to him. I love you, Lord, today. Not yesterday. We loved him yesterday, but we can't redo yesterday, can we? And we don't have tomorrow, but today we can tell him. It's the lullaby song to the Lord. I love you, Lord, today. Let's sing it to the Lord. I love you, I love you, I love you, Lord, today, because you care for me in such a special way. And yes, I praise you, I lift you up, I magnify That's why my heart is filled with praise. My heart, my mind, oh, my soul belongs to you. You paid the price for me way back on Calvary. And yes, I praise you. I lift you up and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. The first verse. I love you. I love you. Oh, I love you, Lord, today, because you care for me in such a special way. And yes, I praise you. I lift you up. I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. We thank God for an opportunity to praise him today. And as we prepare ourselves to go before the Lord with our thanksgiving for what he's already done, and that has been much, we also want to ask him for the things we yet need him to do for us. We know that there are many people who did not make it over to the 08 side. And I'm just thinking now of the family in the back of my house. I got home on a Thursday night, and Friday morning, 9 o'clock, someone knocked on the door and says, have you seen your neighbor in the back of you? Because my brothers normally take him places when he needs to go. And no, he says, well, his house is on fire. I looked out the back door, and the roof was just smoking. And so we wondered where he was, and I thought, oh my God, I hope he's not in there. But as it turned out, he was. And just the feeling of watching something like this was so devastating for us. You know, it's like we never know what's going to happen, do we? But we know that prayer is always in order. And so this morning, I'd like to remember that family, as well as all of the families who have undergone tragedies, those that are sick and those that have gotten recent diagnoses of incurable problems. I especially want to remember those people today. And if you have anybody that you would like to remember in prayer as we go before the Lord, you may call their names out loud, or you may hold them on your heart, because God knows your thoughts and what's on your heart as well. Are there names that you'd like to call?
Let my wife Irene be free of her cancer.
Okay. The Haynes family. Daniel and Lydia. And all of those, there are 4 or 5 people that I've heard about in the last couple of days who've had the word that they have cancer in the 4th stage and all that sort of thing. That's why I say there are too many names for me to call off, but God knows who they are. I'd like to remember all those who are in hospice, especially Mr. Fletcher and his family. I'd like to remember Troy in 7F. Troy, I hope you're listening this morning. We're thinking about you and hoping for the day that you can make it over here to the chapel. I know that is one of your heart's desire. For all of those that are in MedSurg ICU and their families, for our troops that are still in harm's way in Iraq and Afghanistan, for their families, those who have been over and have come back hurt, injured, I want to pray for them, for Travis Gonder and his family. I don't know whether he's back yet or not. No. I want to pray also for the heads of state, those that are in decision-making positions, those decisions affect millions and millions of lives. It's easy for us to be opinionated and to criticize, but we're all human beings, we creatures of a moment, traveling from time to eternity. None of us are perfect. But we know that we all share a common bond. We're all on this planet Earth, aren't we? And what affects one affects all of us. Regardless to what tongue we speak or what language or where we are geographically, we're all human beings on the planet, creatures made by our Creator God, who has given us the wonderful privilege to come before him and to cast our cares on him because he cares for us. Let us do so right now in prayer. Dear Lord, as we are in an attitude of prayer right now, We are conscious of your presence in us, with us, through us, and for us. We accept your invitation because we know of your faithfulness. We would not be here right now were it not for your faithfulness, for which we thank you so very much. We thank you for bringing us through all the trials and tribulations of 07 and the years before that. We also thank you for letting us cross over into 08 with expectations and bright hopes for the future you've promised for us. We ask that you would help us to be better children of yours, more obedient in the new year. And Lord, we thank you. We know that we haven't been all that we should have been. And for those things that we've left undone, that we should have done, we ask forgiveness. And Lord, there were things that we probably should have done that we didn't do. And for that, we do ask forgiveness as well. In this moment of prayer, we sincerely ask you to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us to be the children of you that you want us to be. Help us to follow closer your lead and your guidance each day of our lives. And in this moment of worship, we pray that you would restore us to a rightful place, a closer place with you in our faith walk. Then, Lord, there are things that we yet need you to do for us. We've called off some names, and there are so many, too many for us to name one by one. That's why I'm glad you know every last one of us. We're all human beings, Lord. We all are needy people. And the thing we need most is you. We need more of you. We ask today that you would bless all of those who are upset, anxious, and afraid. Those that are sick in this hospital and other hospitals all over the country. Those that are in harm's way, our troops, their families. Have mercy today, Lord. That's all we know how to say is have mercy. Let your will be done and be merciful unto your people. We ask today that you would be with us in this service. Those, O God, that need a healing touch, we pray you'd touch with that touch. Those, O God, that need their minds regulated. Those who need relationships restored, have mercy today. Give us, O God, an awareness of your presence that will bring peace to our souls, even in the midst of trying circumstances. And those who are facing death, we pray that you would give them a peaceful hour in death and a holy one, that we may look forward to spending eternity in your presence when it is our turn. Meanwhile, Lord, we ask that you would be with us. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who paid the price for us to have so great a salvation. And it is his prayer that we pray together right now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. On the back of your service bulletin is our responsive, it's going to be a responsorial prayer today from Psalm 34. It is a prayer from our hearts, and it's also scripture. It's the New Living Translation. I will read the fine print, you read the bold print, and we'll do the last one together. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises.
I will bless only in the Lord. Let all who are discouraged take heart.
Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together.
I pray to the Lord, he answers me, freeing me from all my fears.
Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. For the angel of the Lord guards all who fear him, and he rescues them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. All the joys of those who trust in him. The word of the Lord for which we are grateful, always a prayer from our hearts. Our song of preparation today is Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, and it's on your insert at the top of the right side. As we prepare our hearts to hear the word of God. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Again, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Spirit of the living God, ask you to breathe just now on these lips of clay. Speak the words that you would have for me to speak, that will glorify you and will bless your people. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my strength, my rock and my redeemer, through Christ my Lord. Amen. This morning, our message for the first Sunday in the year is entitled, A Certain Uncertain Future. A certain, uncertain future. You know, it's amazing about our God how awesome in his wisdom he doesn't let us skip ahead in the story of our lives. You notice that? But rather he leads us page by page. Page by page, one moment at a time, one step at a time. And since this is the case, as each of us faces an uncertain future, meaning we don't know what's going to happen, do we? We don't have a clue as to what's going to happen. We're uncertain. It's an uncertain future. But we can trust in God's promise, as expressed by the prophet Jeremiah in one of my favorite passages of scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, where he says, I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. They are plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. I'd like to repeat that. I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. They are plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. I also like the prophet Isaiah 43:1-3, where he says, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, and you can put your name in this slot, it says, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, call your name, he who formed you, Bob, he who formed you, Virginia, he who formed you, Mrs. Fletcher, they go for you. It says, fear not, for I have redeemed you, I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Isn't that comforting? No matter what comes up, no matter how uncertain the future days may be, we can be certain of God's word and his promises because he's the promise keeper. God does not open the paths for us in advance as we come to them. We don't need them until we need them, do we? He does not promise help before help is needed. No. God does not remove obstacles from our pathway, obstacles out of our way before we reach them. And yet, when we are on the edge, when we are on the very edge of need, God's hand is outstretched to meet us there. I thank him for that. Many of us forget this, and we give in to worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow, worrying about the future, doubting about difficulties that we may foresee in the future. We expect that God is going to make the way plain and open up before us miles and miles ahead. That's why we stack up and store up, isn't it? The Bible doesn't tell us to do that. But that's what we do out of fear of what may happen. Is it because we doubt that God will be there for us? Doubt that he's going to reach out to us at the very edge of our need? When his promise says he will? God wants us to think about that today. We expect God to say, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. God, give me a sign, what's going to happen? But when we have God's promises, why do we need a sign? There was a time when I would fleece God. I would say, okay, God, if this is what you wanted me to do, let this happen so that I can be sure this is you and not my own mind or somebody else's voice. Have you ever done that? I've done it many times. When I get desperate to know what to do, I want to know what's going to happen, what this means, then in my frustration, I say what unbelievers say. I do what people who don't know the Lord do. But I've learned as I mature and as I come to trust God more and more, I can trust his word. I don't need a sign anymore. I don't ask him for a sign anymore. I know he's promised to be there, and so I just must wait. God does not show us way ahead of time what's going to be. Not so. God has promised to do it only step by step as we may need. We don't need dying grace until it's time for us to die, do we? We need grace to live. We need living out our faith kind of grace. Day to day, moment to moment. Only day sizes, 24-hour bites. That's all we can handle. These are promises that we can stand on if we belong to the Lord. All God wants us to do is to love him, to obey him, to trust his word. Every day he gives us. Every moment is precious. It's a gift. You might ask, well, how do I do this? Or how do I do it better than I have in the past? Many of us have tried this, but we sometimes give in to the worry. The answer to that question is simply by exercising our faith. And if we have a lack of faith, asking God to give us more. And then what is faith really? The definition says it all in the Bible. It says now faith, because faith, you can only exercise faith in the now. Faith is being sure of what we hope. What are you hoping for in the new year? What are you hoping for? That's rhetorical. Just think about it. It's being sure of what you hope for. And it's also being certain of what you cannot see. That's what faith is. I can't see what's going to happen this afternoon, but I have faith that God is in charge of this afternoon, and that if I trust him, he's going to lead me this afternoon in all the things that I need to do. Certain means to be sure, to be convinced, to be positive, confident, firm, assured. While uncertain means just the opposite. Now, how can we be certain of something that's uncertain? Seems kind of strange. Being aware of having a certain uncertain future simply means being sure and convinced and positive, confident and firm and assured of what is vague, unsure, undecided by us, because we trust in the living God. We trust in the Lord of heaven and earth to do what he's promised in his word. That is to never forsake us or leave us, to always be there for us no matter what. That's his promise. The only time that we can exercise that faith and that assurance is in the now, the present moment, this very moment. Are you exercising your faith this very moment? The time to press on, as Paul wrote in the book of Philippians, is now. Time to press on to the goal of the prize of the mark of the high calling. What do you say? Not that I have already obtained perfection, but I press on to take hold of what Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. That's in the moment he's talking about now. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of all of this. I haven't done it yet. I'm not perfect yet. But this one thing I do, he says, do is present. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those mistakes, forgetting those hard things, forgetting those things that got in the way of our joy and got in the way of our peace. Don't hold on to them. Let them go. Forgetting those things and straining forward to the new things that God wants to do in our lives. Expecting good things. What did he say? I plan to do good things for you, not evil. But with a joyful expectancy, when a child, when the parent tells a child, I'm going to get something that they really want, you know, the child gets excited with expectancy. And that's how God wants us to do. God has promised great things to us. Why can't we be joyful and expectant and look forward to whatever it is, even in the midst of things that are not so pleasant? He didn't say things would always be wonderful and things would always be great. We know that we're going to get sick. We know that people are going to die. We know that tragedies will happen. But in the midst of all of that, God wants us to affirm in our spirits to know and to be certain of what we cannot see, to know that he's never going to leave us. He's going to be with us in it. And so I invite you to do as I plan to do from here on. I must face and deal with what is in front of me, not with what is behind me. There is never a time, famous African-American writer James Baldwin, some of you may have heard of him, he said, there is never a time in the future in which we will work out our salvation. The challenge is in the moment. The time is always now. Whatever it is that matters to you this day, live like it matters to you right now. Don't postpone it. Mr. Haynes was about to take a shower. My neighbor that burned in his house. Actually, he didn't burn. He died from smoke inhalation. He had no clue. He was getting ready to take a shower for someone who's going to take him to pick up some medication. Had no clue that he wouldn't live out the day. His wife, when she left for work that morning, had no idea when she came back because she wouldn't have a home nor a husband. We don't know from one moment to the next, but what we do know is that God, in his merciful wisdom, promised he'd give us the strength and the grace to bear whatever it is. And sometimes we're called upon to bear hard things. Then it's when it's wonderful to remind ourselves of God's promise. And God is a promise keeper. The future may be uncertain, but the one who holds the future, it's a certainty that he's promised to be with us, that he would not let it destroy us. And if we know him, and if we've accepted the finished work of Christ, it's all good. All things are working together for our good, for those of us who love the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one who paid the price for us to have such certainty. Without him, we wouldn't have it. We're certain of one thing. When we place our concerns and our lives in the hands of the Eternal, it's all good. It's certain that all will be well with us, no matter what. And that's why I love that song that says, I don't know who holds tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry about the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside him because he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. But I know who holds the future, and I know who holds my hand. Amen? Amen. That's the word of the Lord for us today. And because Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith, and because he paid such a price for us to have so great a salvation, this certain, uncertain future is totally because of him. When he was here, he gave us two things he wanted us to do to remind ourselves of what he did for us, the price he paid. He wanted us to be, himself to be remembered by us in our hearts through baptism and through the Lord's Supper. He knew that we have short memories as human beings. It's been over 2,000 years, and his promise when he went back that he's coming back again, but until he does, he wants us to remember him in these ways. And so on the first Sunday of each month, we do so in obedience to the great head of the church, who is Christ Jesus our Lord. We celebrate communion, and this morning we will do so. We will do so with the intinction method. You will dip your bread into the cup as I come to you. Let us remember prayerfully and meditate in our hearts as we prepare to receive the Lord's body and blood, so that we may receive it with a good conscience, understanding that it is the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, represents his body that was broken and his blood that was shed. It was on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he was sitting with the 12 around the table. He was preparing them for what was about to happen. He was on his way to Calvary. They didn't understand it, but he took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me." And likewise, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins. Take and drink it in remembrance of me." Blessed Lord, we ask that you would touch these physical elements. They may represent your body and your blood. And we ask that you would help us to search our hearts and our minds and to make a commitment to love you more, to appreciate your gift, to make you Lord of our lives in a way like never before. We ask this in the precious name of our Christ. Amen. Body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, broken for you, his blood that was shed for you. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, broken for you, blood that was shed for you. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, broken for you, blood that was shed for you. Savior Jesus Christ, broken for you, blood that was shed for you. Father, I want to save Jesus Christ, broken for you, blood that was shed for you.
and Savior Jesus Christ, broken for you, blood is shed for you.
And when they had sang a hymn, they marched out into the Mount of Olives. God bless you as we sing our closing song. I'm so proud to have such a large delegation from the Blind Center. God bless you. Let's sing this song, Higher Ground, as we close. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught a joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost heights and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And now to the one who is able to lead us and guide us with certainty through an uncertain future, to the one who loves us so much to make a way for us to be at peace now and throughout eternal ages, through your Son, Jesus Christ, we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Ask you to make your face to shine and smile on each one of us and grant us your matchless peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, and everyone says together, Amen. God bless you and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.